And for the reading of God's Word, Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 29. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, just as in all the world, also is constantly bearing fruit and multiplying, just as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. And just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, and who is a faithful servant of Christ in our behalf, who also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with all the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and multiplying in the full knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, who rescued us from the authority of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross through Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and enemies in mind and in evil deeds, but now He reconciled you in the body of His flesh through death, in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and I fill up what is lacking of Christ's afflictions in my flesh on behalf of His body, which is the church, of which I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God given to me for you, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from ages past and generations, but has now been manifested to His saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Him, or Him we proclaim, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose I also labor, striving according to His working, which He works in me in power. Let's pray together. O Lord, we do ask that You would be gracious to us and give us understanding. We are so thankful for Your work here at New Life Fellowship. And now as we give attention to the preaching of Your word, that indeed, Christ, You would have the rightful place in our lives and the life of this church body. That we would glory in the gospel. That we would humbly desire to be Your servants, Lord Jesus. That we want to see the power of the gospel on display. More hope because of more faith and more love. Much thanksgiving to You, our God, all because of Christ. And so would You give us understanding now that we would be the church that You have called us to be and commanded us to be, that in this season of our lives and life of this church body, Christ would be shown to be sufficient. The supremacy and the sufficiency of Christ would be on display. And so teach us and help us. For we desire to be a people whom others would give thanks to God for because of your work here in our midst. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our Savior and that we as your people now can learn about you more. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The question is asked, would you rather be the robber or the one robbed? It's a question that a Puritan writer gave as he began to think through this and understanding the great claim upon his life in the matters of the gospel, the matters of who Jesus is. Consider this morning what changes that God has brought about in your life. How different your life really is because you have heard and understood and believed. Because Christ is your Savior. The changes that He brings about. The transformation that occurs. The life that you've been given. Matthew Henry is the name of the Puritan. He's a famous Bible commentary. You can find him on the internet, and there's volumes that he wrote of the entire Bible. And it's an amazing thing because he was born in 1662 and died in 1714, just a few months short of his 52nd birthday. He was what was known as a nonconformist minister. He did not conform to the governance of the established Church of England. He was regarded as a rebel by some. And yet there was an occasion when Matthew Henry was traveling on horseback to a church meeting when he was scheduled to be the guest speaker. And suddenly a bandit broke out of the woods and the robber was armed, and he ordered the preacher to get off his horse and to hand over all of his money. And there wasn't much to hand over. And Matthew Henry quickly complied with the crook and as he dashed off into the woods. And as Matthew Henry continued on his journey, he kept thinking about the command that God gave in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So how could he give thanks for being robbed? And in the sermon that he preached that very night, he concluded with this lesson on the story of the robbery and how he could be thankful. He says, first, I am thankful that I've never been robbed before. Second, I'm thankful that he took my money and not my life. Third, I'm thankful that he did not take more. He could have taken my horse and my clothes as well. Next, I'm thankful that what I had stolen from me really did not amount to very much. And then I'm thankful that what I lost in time can be replaced. But then he concluded with this matter. He says, let me be thankful most of all. And finally and most importantly, I am thankful because I was the one who was robbed and not the one who did the robbing. It's the great humility of the heart of a man when he recognizes what his own sinful inclinations would result in. And if it were not for the grace of God, there go I. And understanding, relating the story and seeing this and testifying to the change that the gospel brings, this is exactly where Paul has us in the book of Colossians. As he opens up this book of Colossians, and we've been talking about the matter of the book of Colossians, that it's speaking about the supremacy and the sufficiency of Christ. And this morning we want to look at Paul and giving this thanksgiving, a prayer of thanksgiving to God for the gospel and the church. And Paul starts off with the transition and the transformation that occurred in the life of the church at Colossae, in the lives of these people, because of the power of the gospel, because of the person of Christ. Because that's what the gospel is really about. It's about the Son of God who was sent by the Father to be the Savior that He died on the cross and He bore our sins, that anyone who believes in His name will have the forgiveness of all their sins. Anyone who puts their hope in Him has the hope of heaven and eternal life. There's the great recognition and understanding the truth about Christ and the truth about ourselves, that Jesus is the only Savior and we need to be saved. And so He must be your Savior. You must humble yourself before Jesus and ask Him to forgive you for your sins, and He must become your hope of eternal life and salvation. In understanding and testifying to the reality of these things, it's an amazing thing that even the beginning of this book, as we speak about these matters, remember in chapter 1, the sufficiency of the person and work of Christ for all is explained, and His supremacy over all, that He is Lord of creation and Lord of the church, and that Paul is explaining what Christianity centered in Christ really looks like. And I so much appreciate the way that Paul begins this epistle, because he begins with a prayer of thanksgiving and exalting the work of Christ and the work of God in the lives of the Colossians. Now, there's much that we can learn here to be a people that indeed are centered in Christ. One of the things that Paul would emphasize for us here is that Christ needs to be in the center, that the gospel would be on display, that the grace of God would be heard and understood, and that the truth of God would be lived out. It's an amazing way that he begins this. And understanding and recognizing the great glory that is given to Christ. Now, on your notes there, I've given you a little paragraph of information. And it's so helpful for us. One commentator said it this way: His designation of the Savior as Christ Jesus may be understood as a deliberate effort to emphasize at the very outset the present exalted position of the risen Lord over against a system of thought which intended to rob Him of His full majesty. Paul does not use the name Jesus alone in this letter. It is Christ Jesus. It is Jesus Christ. It is our Lord Jesus Christ. This repetition over and over again to give Him the glory and to show the authority that He has in His majesty. And it's so wonderful when we consider these things and understand it. That's why I appreciate so much even the songs this morning, so much about Christ. And notice how he begins in verse 3. And we're going to look at verses 3 to 8 here this morning. A prayer of thanksgiving to God because of the gospel in the church. Look with me at beginning verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world also is constantly bearing fruit and multiplying, just as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a faithful servant of Christ in our behalf, and who also informed us of your love in the Spirit. The thing that you see here that is emphasized over and again in the very prayer that Paul prays for the church at Colossae, he is giving attention and giving thanksgiving to God for His work and the presence of the gospel in the life of these people. And notice a prayer of thanksgiving to God for this church, as he would show us Christ and the gospel and grace and truth, that there is the word of truth and the grace of God in truth. I can't help but even think and understand that even in this prayer that Paul begins, he is, as it were, addressing the matters that these false teachers that have come in their philosophies that they're trying to give the church at Colossae. These religionists that are trying to explain to them that there's more than just Christ that is necessary. Or the moralists that are saying that no, there's a life that you can live apart from Christ. And the legalists that say no, it's more important to have these rules. Paul would lay before them and say, you have everything that is needed in Christ, in the gospel, which has grace and is the truth. It's like we have to pray this prayer over and over again and acknowledge that's what we should be thankful for. Not men who have great gifts or boasts of their intellect or make claims about things they can do or have showy ministries, but is the gospel on display? Is the truth of God on display? I would much rather someone come up to me and say, I thank God for His work through you, than for someone to come to me and say, I thank God for you. I thank God for the work that He's doing through you. I praise God for what He's doing through you. It's not about us, it's about the God whom we give thanks to. And this is where Paul is putting the focus. Notice the character of this prayer of thanksgiving in verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And I'd like to say, I believe this is a Christian prayer because of Christ. Now, there are other prayers in the Bible, and he's going to give us a more detailed prayer in verses 9 to 12. But I'd like to show you and see here the very character of Christ is shown in the character of this thanksgiving, this prayer of thanksgiving, because it's a Christian prayer because of Christ. Notice, again, verse 3, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Paul is emphasizing the reality that we always give thanks when we pray for you. And Paul is saying, I'm a praying man, and I'm praying for you, and there's much that I give thanks to God for what He's doing in you. God gets the thanks. We give thanks to God, Paul says, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This whole emphasis, praying always for you. In Philemon, there's a parallel to this. If you look over with me at Philemon, remember we talked last time about the relationship between Philemon and the book of Colossians. Notice what Paul says in Philemon, verses 4 and 5. I thank my God, always making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. It's almost like the exact same language that he uses there. And that's one of the reasons why we believe that these letters were written around the same time and probably given to Tychicus to deliver, and it's an amazing statement. But did you notice how very particular and specific Paul is in his prayer? Not to just any God, but to God the Father. And it's to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what it makes it as a Christian prayer because of Christ. The relationship between God the Father and God the Son. That we are to give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's how He is deserving for what He is doing. And it is Christian. It is Christian to give thanks to God the Father. It's what separates us out. I would even imagine that these false teachers that came in and all their things that they were trying to say, that the giving the thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, wasn't even on the agenda at all when they were trying to explain to them. And you might be able to sniff out some false teacher pretty quickly. Do they really want us to give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Is that going to be the end result in the fruit of the ministry of the teaching that you're bringing in? Will there be a Christian prayer because of Christ for the lives of those whom you're going to minister to? And Paul here, who, remember, he had gotten word. At chapter 2, I remind you again, chapter 2, verse 1, He says, "For I want you to understand how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea and for all those who have not seen my face in the flesh." Paul hadn't even been to this church body. They hadn't seen him. That's why in verse 4 he says, "Since we heard of your faith." He never was there. He heard from others of their faith and their love and their hope. Look with me at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, as Paul would come back to this again. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." There is Christian thanksgiving. And it's so wonderful the way Paul begins this. And he encourages us and teaches us that we are to be those who are giving thanks to God. And I can't help but remind us again of all the ways that Jesus spoke about the Father in our upper room discourse, remember? When Jesus was teaching us about the Father and about himself as the Son. And so that we pray in relationship to that revelation that is given to us, that we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You could even state it this way, that Christian prayer to God, the Father of the Son, the one who is our Lord Jesus Christ. It's that specific. It's doctrinally, theologically sound. It is putting Christ in his rightful place, even in the prayers to God the Father. And don't you like the way Paul says that? We give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he is to us. He's ours. And notice the three names, the three titles, the two titles, the name, Lord Jesus Christ. The full expression. See, we live in a culture that they want to have a Jesus without him being Lord and without him being Christ. They want a Jesus of their own thinking, of their own making. And this would have been a real problem even in that culture, in that area of Colossae, when people would write letters, they would often give feigned declarations to their gods and the gods that they believed in. So Paul makes it very clear. In this character of this prayer of thanksgiving, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And don't you love that? We always give thanks when we pray for you. That Paul says, every time we go to pray for you, we give thanks to God for you. And it makes me stop and think of something. Do you want to be the kind of person that when people think of you and they go to prayer, that they must give thanks to God for what he's doing in you? Do you want to be one who prays to the Father for others in such a way because you give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for what he's doing? And that we're being those who others will give thanks to the Father? Like we at New Life Fellowship, we need to be the kind of people that we are giving thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for what he's doing in the lives of others, and that we want other people, when they hear about us, they will give thanks to God the Father also. It's so wonderful in recognizing and understanding the great privilege that we have. And so the character of this prayer of thanksgiving, this Christian prayer because of Christ, and then notice verses 4 and 5. Here's the reason for this prayer of thanksgiving. Why is he giving thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and praying for them always? Look at verse 4. "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel." Now this is what's really, really intriguing about the way Paul lays this out. He's working forward and then backwards. And so you almost can think of it this way. And understanding the reason for this prayer of thanksgiving is because they have an actual hope. And there is the place of faith and the presence of love among them. The hope is what creates and causes the faith and the love. If you look at it again, verse 5. Because of the hope, we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope that's laid up for you in heaven. And I don't know about you, I see some things here that help us understand what real Christianity is to be all about. That my hope is in heaven. When's the last time you talked to someone about heaven? When's the last time that you were talking about Christ seated at the right hand of the Father? Your exalted Savior there. As He promised in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. That hope will then produce in us a faith and a love. And Paul says that was evident in the life in the church at Colossae. And so here is the Christian character because of Christ. There is hope in heaven because He is there. And there is our faith in Christ Jesus and our love which we have for all the saints. Because of this, their actual hope, there is the place of faith and the presence of love. Or you could say it this way. On account of this hope that is laid up for you, even now it is there. With this confident expectation, there is the present reality of faith and the personal responsibility of love. If you look with me over at Colossians chapter 3, you can see this emphasized very clearly when Paul makes the transition. Chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on the things that are on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is manifested, then you also will be manifested with Him in glory. Isn't that wonderful? It's so wonderful to think of it that way. And let me tell you something. The false teacher always comes with a promise on earth than really the promise in heaven. You hear what I'm saying? False teachers want you to think more about here and not heaven. And that's why all the rules and the philosophies and all their knowledge, and they got glory here on earth, but they got no glory in heaven. And the amazing thing is they rob Christ of His glory on earth and the glory that He already has in heaven. And when you and I put our hope in heaven, we say, that's the one whom I serve and I love, and therefore I have my faith in Him. It's not in myself. Dear friend, if you're here today and your faith is in yourself, that is no good. Look at it again, verse 4. Since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. And the other thing that I like about this, I ask myself the question, what do people hear about me? Do people hear of my faith in Christ Jesus? Do people hear of your faith in Christ Jesus? Do they say, there's one who has put their faith in Jesus? Look at the way that they live, taking His word and obeying His promises and living their life because they really believe what Jesus said. I can't think of a better commendation, could you not? You have faith in Christ Jesus. Might be something to put on your tombstone. This one had faith in Christ Jesus. And then he says, and the love which you have for the saints. Isn't it wonderful? He's already mentioned the saints back in chapter 2, right? Or verse 2. To the saints and faithful brothers in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. You have a love for the saints. Do you see what Paul is doing here? The Christian character because of Christ, this is the reason for his prayer of thanksgiving. People in this realm give thanks to lesser ones for much lesser things. And yet we ought to thank God when we see faith in Christ and love that people have for the saints and the hope that is laid up for you in heaven, which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. My wife can testify to this. Every time I pray for this church body, I give thanks to God for the work that He's doing in you. Because if you've walked in this world very long, you know there's very little faith in Christ and very little love for all the saints and not much hope in heaven. And I'm so grateful for each of you that are here, and I praise God and I give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for the faith that you have in Christ, for the love that you have for the saints here, and the hope that has been laid up for you in heaven. We live in a world, even to this day, even as the Colossians lived in, that people are saying, no, there's something more that is necessary. Something more that must be done. If you just add this and do that, and all the people that are chasing all the different things in this world, it really comes down to the reality. Do I have faith in Christ? Do I have love for all the saints? And really, is my hope laid up in heaven? That's what it means to be a Christian. And so it should be very clear, should it not? But in our culture, it's so confusing. Because being a Christian has become something that people can define on their own terms. And I don't know about you, but I rarely give thanks to God for those kinds of Christians. It's a confusing message. And so let us be that reason for this prayer of thanksgiving, even as the church of Colossae was, that we would be that same way. Don't be enamored with gaining great knowledge or being articulate. Don't be impressed with yourself because you are really moral or you keep lots of rules. At least more than that guy over there. See that faith in Christ Jesus and love for the saints and a hope laid up in heaven is what is the character of the Christian. And this Christian character is because of Christ. Because if you look at it in verse 5, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, it's because that's where Christ is. See, not enough of us, when we share the gospel, we share the gospel like this. Well, God the Father sent His Son, and He died on the cross, and He wants you to believe in Him. Sometimes we share it like that. Rather than saying, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There's no one else like Him. That whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that very one was resurrected from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And He's ready to welcome all who have put their faith in Him. Dear friend, you can have hope in heaven because of Jesus. I mean, you could even ask somebody a question if they claim to be a Christian and say, well, do you have faith in Christ Jesus? Do you have love for the saints? Is your hope laid up in heaven where Christ is? And you can see how the false teachers would come in and they were attacking each of these matters. And Paul's reminding them, I give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for your faith, your love, your hope. Isn't that wonderful? One writer said it this way, the Colossian Christians are assured everything in their hope is kept for them in the safe and right place in heaven, that hope which is centered in Christ Himself, end quote. We use the word hope to talk about all sorts of, well, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. I hope I can get off work early. I hope everything goes well at work tomorrow morning. I hope that meeting doesn't go the way I think it's going to go. Hope. This is a much different kind of hope, would we not agree? It is so sure, so certain, that it should drive and compel our faith in Christ and our love for all the saints. And I guarantee you, the more that your hope is laid up in heaven, and that is a surety and a certainty in your heart and mind that that's where your hope lies, not in what's going to happen today in this life or tomorrow, the things that you've had, where your hope really is, there will be great faith in Christ Jesus and great love for all the saints. And what you see here too in these three descriptions is the relationship that all of them have in Christ Jesus. Our hope laid up in heaven, and your faith in Christ Jesus, and the love which you have for all the saints, it kind of echoes, does it not? It kind of reminds me of something that Jesus said in John chapter 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Believe in me, chapter 14, believe in God, believe also in me. And these elements, these three Christian elements, are because of Christ Jesus and this relationship of these three Christian features in Christ Jesus. And it's really a reminder of the words. You almost could say it very pointedly that these Colossians understood the words that Jesus had taught his disciples, and they were actually living them out. And that's powerful when we think of it that way. It's wonderful to think of it that way. So we've seen the character of this prayer of thanksgiving, which is a Christian prayer because of Christ, and the reason for this prayer of thanksgiving, which is a Christian character because of Christ. And then notice, I want you to see verses 6 to 8. This is the source of this prayer of thanksgiving, and this is so powerful. And you see there on your notes, we just tried to simply lay this out for you in understanding and recognizing. Look at what he says in verse 6, or the end of verse 5. Previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. You heard the word of truth, the gospel. Now, why is that significant? Because the false teachers were coming and saying, we're trying to give you this truth. And Paul is saying to them, you heard the word of truth, the gospel. The truth about the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man and the righteousness of Christ and the judgment of God upon sin and the free gift of eternal life. Those who would believe in Christ can have all of their sins forgiven. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried, he was raised on the third day according to Scriptures. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Paul is reminding them that you heard the word of truth, the gospel, which has, and that phrase is so powerful, the beginning of verse 6, which has come to you. And the language here that Paul uses is so important because he's telling them, you're not waiting for something to arrive. And surely the false teachers didn't bring it. It already came to you. And he has a very complicated statement that he makes. How did it come to them? It came to them in power and showed itself to be powerful and bearing fruit in your life, just as it did in the rest of the world. And that you understood it and believed it, and it became the grace of God and truth in your life. Because you learned it from Epaphras, our fellow slave, and who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, who also informed us of your love in the Spirit. You can memorize these verses by just remembering threes, right? Faith, love, and hope. And then there are these three statements, just as, you see it in verse 6? Just as in all the world. Again, verse 6, just as it has been doing in you also. Verse 7, just as you learned from Epaphras. And so the gospel is present with them. As one writer said it this way, it is still present among them. The gospel which they heard, which has brought hope to them, is still present among them. I love hearing the stories that I get to hear of people in this church body of the way God saved you and opened your eyes, and that you tell me the story of the way you were before God transformed you, before you heard the gospel and understood, before the gospel became present in your life. It's such a powerful thing. And Paul is reminding them, don't forget what the gospel did. And at the heart of the gospel is Christ, who is the Savior. And he's going to explain later on that he's the sufficient Savior, the only Savior. But notice the gospel is present with them. The word of truth, the gospel which has come to you. It is present, has arrived, it is there with you. And so the gospel is present with them. But secondly, the gospel is bearing fruit in them, which has come to you, verse 6, just as in all the world, it's constantly bearing fruit and multiplying. And this is a powerful statement because, remember, Paul is writing from Rome, 1,000 miles away. And in his mind, that's what he's referring to. The gospel is spread that far from Colossae. And you know what's really cool to think about? The ministry of New Life Fellowship is a testimony that the gospel has spread to all the world, is multiplying. We don't have to think about it that way. But where are we in relationship to the church at Colossae? We're a long ways away. And so our very existence is the ministry of the gospel is present with us as it was with them, and that the gospel is bearing fruit in them as it is in us. And notice he says it's constantly bearing fruit and multiplying, just as it's all been doing in you also, since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. And this is what's so important that Paul wants to drive home to them. You've heard the gospel. See, more of us need to take a step back and say, now, where is the gospel in that teaching? Where is the Christ, the only Savior gospel? Where is that in this teaching? I hear the arguments. I see the knowledge. I see the morals. I see the rules. It just kind of looks like to me you're kind of boasting what only man can do. And the gospel is all about what only God could do. And so Paul is reminding them, don't forget what God did in your life with the gospel. And this reason, or the source for their prayer of thanksgiving, is the Christian ministry because of Christ. That this gospel was not only present with them, and the gospel is bearing fruit in them, but the gospel was heard and understood by them. Did you see that in verse 6? Since the day you heard and understood the grace of God in truth. And there's so much that is in that one phrase, the grace of God in truth. And I believe that's in great contrast to all this false teaching that was coming in. You could just take that one label and say, is this the grace of God in truth kind of teaching? Does it apply? Because that's the gospel, the grace of God and the truth from God, and we understand it. And don't you like the focus that Paul gives? You heard it and understood it. He is giving thanks to God because of the Christian ministry, because of Christ and the gospel that is on display, the word of truth and the grace of God in truth. That should be our focus and the emphasis of our teaching and our lives. More of the grace of God in truth. More of the word of truth, the gospel. It is all that is necessary because at the heart of it is the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ himself. And so the gospel was present with them. The gospel was bearing fruit in them. The gospel was heard and understood by them. And then notice, the gospel was brought and taught to them. This is so important. Verse 7, just as you learned it from Epaphras, as our beloved fellow slave, who's a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, who also informed us of your love in the Spirit. It's so powerful because the gospel was brought and taught to them by Epaphras. Remember, Epaphras went back to Paul because of his concern for the false teachers that were coming into Colossae. And here Paul is reminding them that he is our fellow slave. And the thing you got to see in verse 7, just as you learned it from Epaphras, Epaphras didn't just teach them a Bible study for 30 minutes. He taught them over and over again. And literally, the word is the word that we get disciple from. And so you acquired information as a result of repeated instruction. You learned and were instructed and were taught. This is another feature of Christianity, dear friend. You're to be one who is learning and being taught. And then as you heard, you understand. That's what Christianity is about. I get really fearful when I ask somebody, you know, so what are you learning? Who's teaching you? And they go, well, I'm my own teacher. No. Doesn't work that way. Even the pastor, when he prepares the message, he has an assortment of teachers that he brings into the study with him. Volumes of commentaries. Conversations with men that have been in ministry longer. Those who have, you learned it from Epaphras, our fellow slave. And I love that because Paul says, our beloved fellow slave. So how did Paul view himself? As a slave. And a slave of who? A slave of Christ. And this kind of labels the ministry of Epaphras. Think of the things that he did for these people. Our fellow slave. He acted like the slave of Christ to you. And who was a faithful servant of Christ in our behalf. And that's what the fruit of the gospel does in the lives of people also. It causes the gospel to be brought and taught to others. Isn't that wonderful? You don't need these false teachers to come in and teach you anything. Just go back to what you've been taught. But see, if you've not been in the habit of receiving regular teaching, you're not regularly in Bible study or in discipleship or sitting under the teaching of God's Word, you become very susceptible to false teachers. Because there are some really impressive guys out there right now that they sound really good and it's slick and it appeals to your ear and it even appeals to your flesh. But you ask the question, where is Christ in all that? Am I getting the Word of truth, the gospel? Am I getting the grace of God in truth? So a prayer of thanksgiving to God because of the gospel. This Christianity that's centered in Christ and the Christian prayer and Christian character and Christian ministry. Notice the end here and thinking through these things and understanding all that God would give to us here in a prayer of thanksgiving to God for the gospel and the church. There should be increasing prayers of thanksgiving to God because we are Christians. Wouldn't you agree? If it's Christian to be giving thanks, we ought to be doing that more. And then we're looking around and saying, who can I give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? What am I hearing? I'm hearing of their faith in Christ and their love and their hopes laid up in heaven. I want to be that kind of person that people want to give thanks for. Give thanks to God for what He's doing in us. And secondly, emphasize the Christian life with Christ in the center so that others are giving thanks to God for His work in you in their prayers. There should be more giving of thanks and less praise of men. And I really mean this now. I really mean this. The best thing that you can ever say to me is I thank God for the work that He's doing through you in me. The things that you are showing me and teaching me and helping with me. God gets the glory, not a man. And that's one of the things about these false teachers. They often draw the glory to themselves. And those people are often very susceptible to the popularity and the approval of men and the criticism of others. Thirdly, being a church where the gospel is bearing fruit in our life together. I think we ought to pray that. This prayer that Paul prayed, because the gospel was present with them, again, right? Verse 6, which has come to you, just as it is also doing in you also since the day you heard of it, under the grace of God. Lord, do that here in New Life Fellowship, that more and more of our life being a church where the gospel is bearing fruit in our life together. Look at what the gospel does. It reconciles, it empowers, it grants forgiveness, it changes lives. I'd much rather be the one robbed than to be the robber. I desire that the grace of God would be on display in such a way that Christ would be exalted. And showing that we are those who have heard and understood the grace of God in truth. And serving Christ, bringing and teaching the gospel to others because of Christ. And you need to read through this epistle again and again this week. Let's pray. Father, I ask that this would be a time and a season in our church body that indeed we would see the gospel bearing fruit in our lives together. That there be a greater emphasis on Christ in the center, and that we would be living our lives so that others would be giving thanks to God for His work here. Lord, make us a people that are giving thanks to You. May we not forget this testimony. And that we want to be the ones giving thanks, and we want to be those who others would be giving thanks for. That Christ would be exalted, that You, God our Father, be shown to be powerful, and the fruit of the gospel be shown in us. Lord, help us to continue to go back to the grace of God and truth that is given to us in the gospel. And may You renew our commitments in bringing Christ to others and teaching the gospel to others. Again, we give You thanks, God our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the work that You're doing here at New Life Fellowship, for the faith in Christ Jesus, for the love for the saints, and the hope that is laid up in heaven. Be gracious to us. For the enemy would desire something much different. Teach us, Lord, through this prayer of thanksgiving by the Apostle Paul to the church at Colossae, the way we ought to be in this season here at New Life Fellowship, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.